This call is being...
Hey, good morning, folks. Ram here.
Good morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Hey, Ram.
Hi, Tracy. Unfortunately, I'm double booked, so I might not be able to stay for very long, but I thought I'll kind of kick it off and maybe running a little late. Agreed to kind of run the meeting as well. So.
Can barely hear you, Ram.
Apologies. Hi, can you hear me now?
Better.
I can hear you.
All right, thanks. Sorry, I was just saying, I'm double booked this morning, so I might not be able to stay for the whole meeting. Agreed to run the meeting when he's joined, but yeah, he might be running a bit late. Today was the smart but they need more input from us. Is Sally on today?
I am. Hello. I'll send a link in the chat to the document. Do you want the general background on this project?
Sorry, go ahead. What was that again?
Okay, so the reason I'm here is because we are working on the smart contracts positioning paper. So this is a follow-up to the consensus positioning paper that has already been completed. And we've got a pretty good first draft, but there are some holes in it. And I was hoping to maybe get some people to volunteer to fill in different holes. And each of the holes is maybe one or two paragraphs of copy that would need to be written or some light editing. So if you dive into the link that I sent out, there's a list 1 through 10 of the areas that need a little bit of work.
Number one looks like it may have been my contribution, so I can take a look at that.
Okay, great. So that's Stanislav?
Dan, yep.
Yeah, fantastic. That'd be great. So number two, we think that this is some suggested paragraphs in one of the early drafts that are more about Hyperledger Fabric than they are about the general reference architecture. So we need a Hyperledger Fabric expert to work on that one.
Hey, this is Mick.
Hey, Mick. Thanks for joining.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, this is Dave Huseby. Are we looking at the position paper volume 2?
Yeah, that's right. There's a link in the chat.
I've got it. Which section were you talking about for Fabric?
Yeah, so right now we've got a general architecture section at the top that has some stuff that looks on its surface to be very Hyperledger Fabric specific. So what we want to do is move that out of the general section and put it into the Hyperledger Fabric section.
Hold on, maybe I'm not looking at the right page. Hyperledger Architecture Volume 2, and it starts off with smart contracts?
There's a couple of versions. You might have the wrong version.
All right, let me see.
Are you in the Uber conference?
I am.
Dave, it looks like you
do have... Get the link out of the chat.
It looks like you do have it open. If you're looking at the Hyperledger ARC positioning paper, volume 2 from 9/23/17.
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah. So that number 2 at the top under help need it, I just highlighted it.
Yeah, got it.
So there's a link
Got
here.
It.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
So do we have a volunteer for that one? I'm like, no. who's the fabric expert?
We'll have to... talk to Ben about it.
Okay.
I guess Ben is not on the call today, but let's volunteer Ben. If it's for the fabric, let's volunteer Ben.
Well, we can always ask him to nominate somebody. I was actually on the chat with him in Rocket Chat on the Architecture WG Rocket Chat. Unfortunately, I'm not able to open the... those links from Uber conference chat because I'm running it on a tablet and, I don't know.
Yeah,
so,
if somebody could post the link into the architecture working group meeting notes, that would help.
Yeah, that would help greatly because then it is there as a record and it will also help us. It's not ephemeral. In other words, it won't just disappear.
I've got Tracy. Do you have access to that, Doc?
I do. Yeah, I'll take care of that.
Okay, great. So let's jump to number three here. We need someone to write about the general architecture for access control and permissions, i.e., who has the rights to execute a particular smart contract. Do we have someone who can do that on the phone?
This is Ram. I can do that.
Okay, great. Thanks.
That's actually different depending on which platform you're talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you've 3, 4, and 5 are likely to be platform specific.
Oh, okay. So we can handle those then through 6, 7, 8, and 6 through 10, basically.
Well, we'll just put... So, Ram, do you think it's worth sort of trying to get some general principles for 3, 4, and 5 before we go into it? But the particular implementations of it will have a lot to do with it.
Yeah, so what I was thinking of was, and probably we need to kind of refactor that then, and, you know, I can take a stab at what is the, just like we did in a consensus paper, we probably need to nail out the abstract functional requirements for all of those. So we probably need a section which says what are the abstract functional requirements have it at the generalized function without so saying just what needs to be done in each of those, and then how it's done should be described in the subsequent sections by each of the each of the platforms. Does it make sense?
Yeah, because there's definitely some common principles for each one of them. Things that are common to all of them, like for number 4, most of the nodes, well, all of them are designed to run all the nodes behind a corporate firewall. So that's something that's common to all of them. And they all tend to use TLS for their link security. So that's also common to all of them. So like 3B could, you know, I think that's a good idea. Start off with a general, like, hey, this applies to all of them, but then maybe... Right. Here's how it's different for each project.
Is there one person who can write all of the common principles?
As long as that should be a fairly short section and high level, as opposed to being kind of long and deep. So I volunteer Ram for that.
Okay.
All right. Do you accept?
Okay. And I say that, Ram, I will help you with it.
All right. So. Sorry, who was that talking? Who's the helper here?
Mick.
Got it. Thanks.
So unfortunately, guys, I'm double booked and I need to break off. And since I got volunteered for some stuff, I don't feel guilty about breaking off. Mick, if you could kind of take over from here with the rest of the agenda items, that'll be great. Looks like we have the first one nailed
up. I'll at least provide some high-level guidance. How's that?
Sure. Sounds good. Thanks, folks. And we'll catch up later.
Have a great day, Ron.
Bye.
So for these assignments, it looks like we just need someone for the Aroha section.
Who did we get to do that for the first one?
So these are all populated by documentation that exists somewhere online that I basically pulled into this document.
Right. I was asking a different question. Who provided the Aroha section for the first architecture white paper?
Oh, good question. Tracy, do you know the answer to that one?
I do not. Did you talk to Makoto?
I don't believe it was Makoto, but I don't know who did.
Okay.
It might be worth, and we can just kind of circle back. Ram, I'm sure, knows that one, but I don't have the history behind that section.
Okay.
I'd suggest
we can research
this point, leave that one open. Leave that open for now. We're going to have to come back to it.
Okay, sounds good. So this list of assignments looks great. Thanks, everybody. And that's it for this agenda item, I think. So you can head on to whatever else is on the agenda.
So, Sally, just to clarify on this one, is the expectation that the folks that are listed here will go off and do the work and come back, or is this something that you're going to work with these folks on? What's kind of your thought there?
Yeah, I think the most streamlined is if they just write it and put it directly in the document, and then I'll do a final editing pass over the whole thing for voice and style. But if anybody's stuck and they want to, get on the phone with me and just give me the verbal of what they want to say, then we could schedule those calls separately. I'll put a little note at the bottom here, like, if you get stuck, call Sally Cole, and I'll put my phone number.
That's great. Thanks, Phil.
Okay, you bet. All right, well, I'm going to hop out. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Let's see. The only other thing Ram had on the agenda for today was Hart's crypto library, except that we don't have Hart either.
Well, and Hart, isn't that just a proposal at this moment?
Yeah, in fact, I don't think it hasn't quite gotten to the point where he's written it up as a proposal at this point. It's getting closer, though.
Yeah, it's just a doc that has been circulating.
Right.
And frankly,
go ahead,
do we want to wait until it becomes something that the projects are starting to adopt before we include it into the architecture document? Or maybe we can put it in a, on the horizon future section, but it's not officially architecture yet. That's what I'm getting
at. Are you talking about the discussion that we've been having on the mailing lists, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the Hart crypto library, right? It's not fully formed.
Hart's
not even accepted.
Hart's crypto library, the expectation, the intent behind that is to go to the TSC with a proposal for a new project.
Yeah, I got that.
Right. So it's not.
So are we anticipating that it's going to be accepted and so we should start writing about it?
No, I don't. It wasn't a question about writing at all.
Oh.
It was a question about what's the status of the project proposal.
Oh, gotcha. Sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Without Hart here, I have a hard time kind of channeling. I can channel Hart, but it won't be a very accurate channel.
You're going to have a hard time.
Oh, that was really bad. Sit and go home. It's too early for that. Let me do kind of out of band with Hart and see what the status is on that. I think we need to convert from just sort of the high level discussion that we have down into something as more concrete as a proposal, specifically to get development resources associated with it.
But I thought, some of the discussions were quite concrete at least on the mailing list. It seemed like there was somebody saying, don't put half-baked stuff even into branches, and Hart saying, yeah, we need to expose it, that sort of thing. I mean, I don't know how much more was there in terms of whether he had concrete libraries that would be in different, like one would be, let's say, something that is very well adopted and used by everybody, and then there would be branches corresponding to each. This was the gist of whatever I read on those topics, but
yeah,
you're right.
Again, what I'm suggesting is we need to take that discussion, capture some decisions about what we want to do and put it together into a proposal, and change the discussion from what would be a good idea to what are we actually proposing.
Great.
The expectation that Brian set for us in Chicago, and which Hart was responding to with that original email thread, was put together a proposal for the TSC for a project that captures some collection of wrappers for cryptographic libraries that we could all use. So we need to get to the point, if we're going to do that, we need to get to the point where we have a proposal that we can submit. And all I'm saying is I don't know what Hart's status is on that as a proposal. There are a bunch of things that are not related to the specific, the kind of details of the what, like what are the resource contributions and others like that, who would be the maintainers that haven't been decided on.
That's true.
And without heart here, I have no more information than that. So, I mean, we've all read the thread and contributed to it.
What's the next item on the agenda? Because I seem to be missing this agenda thing.
It's only because, well, okay, understand the only agenda I have is what Ram sent me 15 minutes ago. Well, let's see. Sorry, 25 minutes ago when he said, I can't be there for the whole meeting. Would you run it? And I will cut and paste the agenda that he gave me so you can see exactly what he left, which is pretty much everything we've talked about so far.
And of course, the last item is the identity.
You can't do the last one without part. Yeah.
Huh?
Go ahead.
And there was some kind of exchange about it on the architectural working group, Raka chat, between Nathan and, I guess, Bin, who was asking about that document, but I don't see Bin on the call.
So I think we've covered pretty much everything that Ram wanted to talk a little bit more about identity services, but I'm not sure where we're standing on that. He's got something in mind for what he wants to accomplish with it. At this point, I don't have anything left to talk about because we can't talk about the crypto library without Hart.
But we do have Nathan who was working on the identity services. Maybe he hasn't done anything more, but at least he can give us some of his needs in terms of what needs to be fleshed out in that particular area, and then some of us can jump in, because I do appreciate the fact that he's very, very busy with the actual implementation, and you know, this is the crux of the matter. So we kind of back him up, and because so, we can't have, you know, one person be just responsible for one part of the document, and then having, you know, we all have BAU, we have all have stuff to do. So
on the identity document, I'm still delinquent on that. I haven't gotten back into that document and done another round of writing. Any of those paragraphs are open for people to jump in and add their information on. We posted the link in the Architecture Working Group Rocket Chat channel. We took a little bit of work to find the links again. I don't know why they weren't easier to find, but if you want to jump into those documents and take a look at any sections you'd like to volunteer for, I think we have some headers where folks can, you know, make a claim to a paragraph that they want to do some writing in. And then with respect to the crypto library, Indy has started splitting off all of its crypto functionality into the Indy crypto repository in GitHub, which is a Rust library we compile to a C callable library. So we have SOs for that for Windows and Linux and iOS. And today the community started taking a look at making a build for that for Android devices as well. So I know that we've had some good success with kind of it as a cross-platform based library. And there's been some notes about kind of some of the pieces that we're thinking of putting in there already written up. We're hoping that kind of all the projects kind of put forward kind of the stuff that they have that they think is shareable in terms of the crypto library, and that can help push forward the discussion for the project proposal Hart's writing up. So I know I'm behind on the emailing list, on the email list and the email list thread for that particular topic, but it's probably worth mentioning that those resources are out there for the folks on this call. I think that's all that I have in terms of both the identity, or the ledger identities paper, as well as the crypto library.
And where do you think people should focus on, especially, you know, let's talk about the identity services part, because the other part you have it well under control because you are actually working on, you know, the Indy code base. So in terms of the identity part that is relevant to the architecture working group, I know that you haven't taken a look at this in a while and so on and so forth. It doesn't really matter because the whole point is that like I said before, we should probably try to support each other and work on these together. So that, you know, let us know through the mailing list or whatever, even if you just take a cursory scan at it and say, okay, this part needs working on, this part doesn't, you know, it's clear or whatever the verbiage is, very, very, you know, bullet pointish kind of thing rather than some elaborate concoction.
Right, and right now I think there's two big sections that need some more information. One is kind of the general philosophy for how identifiers work and how they relate to what the scope of system identifiers are. And then the other section that I know Ben wanted to look at is how those identifiers relate to an external system that might provide some of that, like, and you know, what Fabric CA is doing or what an LDAP system might be able to provide for system identities. And I think those two sections will help define some of the other paragraphs, but there's no reason why anyone couldn't just jump in and start putting down some content there. There's nothing about that document the way it stands now that's not changeable or negotiable in terms of what content people want to see go in. So if anyone has the time to take a look at it, that's fine. I think the challenge there has just been the folks who have things to say about that or heads down on other things.
Well, this seems to be a common theme anyway, across not only here, but also in the Identity Working Group paper itself. I will definitely take a look at that paper and put something down where I can. And I will let you guys know through the Architecture Working Group mailing list, and also tee up something more concrete for the next week's Identity Working Group meeting. And that's all I have to say about that topic.
That will be very much appreciated, Griffin.
Hang on one second. I'm just adding the link to that doc in the meeting notes so that we have it again. Anything else on the identity services piece, Vipin?
Not from my end. I think it's more of a discovery of a community in order to work on this together. And, sometimes it's difficult, in an open source situation, especially for people who are, people are interested in coding, not in doing stuff which is outside that to the standard stuff and all that. So that, that's a general challenge anyway. So we know that. And I wonder whether we can do something else which will drive more people into these meetings. And, basically it's a marketing challenge. I mean, I don't know what to say about that.
So are you... I mean, the pragmatic version of this, and Nathan, I think, made two interesting references to this. One is there's a bunch of kind of call for contribution in the identity services doc that he has up there. And I'm assuming you haven't gotten much response to that. And the second observation is that it could be that a lot of that is because we are being excessively focused on getting code out the door rather than writing white papers. That feels like the biggest issue, as opposed to lack of interest.
Yeah, I think the other thing to add there is if it's not that high of a priority, maybe we can wait on it too. I mean, if we're seeing a lot of demand for this paper, then maybe talking about what demand we have for the paper will help people's priorities come into line and get it done faster.
Right. And you know, I'll speak for myself. My issue is much more pragmatic, as we talked about in Chicago. I want to consume identities. I don't want to be in the process of figuring out the details behind it. So understanding and having available the libraries that allow me to dereference and verify identities becomes the highest priority. And again, that's code rather than kind of writing the white paper piece of it.
Yeah, all right. I think that's exactly right. And that's why we're focusing on trying to build the tools and like the shared crypto library, because that, I think, will give us the basis for doing some of those things more easily.
Yeah. All right. I guess then the last thing I'm going to do is just bring up, this is our Friday for the privacy and confidentiality stuff. I'm going to send around to everybody who signed up for the meeting a link to Vipin's write-up on supply chain, which is fantastic. I would suggest we all go through that prior to Friday. And Vipin, if you can lead the discussion kind of both through the kind of structure of what you've presented, but also I think the highlight really needs to be about what information access is desired and what is unacceptable for the participants that you're describing in that document.
Can you send me the link? Sorry, Vivian, I want to jump in. Is there a link to this document? Can you put it in the notes, please?
I can't do anything with this tablet thing. It's there. I'll send it out.
I've got it, Dave. Email. Give me a second and I'll forward it.
Great. And can you invite me to the meeting on Friday? That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so the other piece is if this is a community meeting, we probably want to make sure it gets on the community calendar as well. So if you can send me the details, I can get that on the community calendar.
Absolutely. Just one second, Tracy.
Yeah. Sorry, Vipin. I think it's your turn now.
It was an offshoot of the architecture working group talking specifically about privacy and security. And the background to this was that collectively we decided that we should shoot for a use case. And then somebody just threw out this fish use case, which is like fish shipping fish. And then it got to a discussion.
Which, by the way, is the one that we've done all of the background work on the Sawtooth team. So
yeah, I mean, you know that. This has relevance to the architecture working group because the remit, like I said, was to talk about privacy and confidentiality, and use the use case as a background to talk about how we would. What kind of needs are there for privacy and confidentiality? And the paper that I was putting together and I circulated privately only because it was totally draft, and Hart had some comments and I responded to them, and Mick and Ram were on the, but I would like to work a little more on the paper before Friday, this Friday, I guess.
Are you okay with the rest of us adding some comments and notes in there as well?
Oh, of course. It's an open document. I don't have any problems with, people even telling me that it smells fishy.
That was seriously bad. Go away.
Okay. So the point is that I try to develop it like a, you know, from a seed into something bigger and bigger and bigger. That was my intent, like to show how the chain develops from a two-party, you know, bilateral conversation into bigger and bigger pictures. And then I try to tie it up with the documents that are commonly used in supply chain. And the privacy argument I try to make around the visibility of those documents to the participants or subset of participants, some of them being visible to certain set of participants, some of them not being visible, or some of them being visible to another set. Maybe there's an intersection of these participants, but it still is, you know, different sort of subsections or views of the documents. That's how I try to model that that document. I mean, and you can take it anywhere you want, but that was what I have been. Okay, let me give you some background. Like, I have been actually working on certain supply chain as more like a, almost like a consultant internally. So I'm, you know, I get a lot of ideas from various people, but also I, of course, supply my own viewpoint into this. So I do not talk about specific projects that we are working on, because obviously they are all sort of classified, just like mix fish provenance project. So that is the background, and the things that need work there are only a few things. That one is the ELOC, which is the letter of credit, and the description of that. But these are all kind of irrelevant to our main purpose, which is to create ways in which we can have these confidentiality circles, so to say, or sets, and how people come in and out of the sets. And of course, always listening to the dictum that Nathan has, which is something that that is seen cannot be unseen. So, you know, this is the impulse behind creating that document.
And it's very good, by the way. I've actually been using it in a couple of other situations where we're trying to kind of refine down some technical issues as well. So it's really good. Thank you.
I'll also have to pass it by some of the supply chain experts in order to see if they're whether I'm, you know, totally wrong or crazy. But I you know, there are some people who I trust and who have been on vacation, so I'm going to send it to them and ask for feedback or critiques on that aspect, business aspect.
I also sent it to a couple of our guys who are in the supply chain side on Intel to just get their feedback on it, to see if they have specific angles on some of those problems. I'm assuming that's okay, right? It was intended to be open, right?
It was intended to be open, yes. It is. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's open, but, you know, maybe some guys around here have different opinions on that, but I'm always running into that. Because, again, you know, this whole IP thing is, I think, sort of stopping us sometimes from a different way of collaborating, which is what blockchain is going to bring us. So we, you know, we have to keep our feet in both worlds, the one where everything is sacrosanct and IP ridden, and the other is the open, you know, open fora, like what we are talking on, like, you know, the Hyperledger Architecture Working Group is an open call. So, I mean, just a couple of more observations on this. One is, you know, you can take it to anywhere, right? I mean, you can start taking it into logistics, into demand. So there are two sides, right? There is the supply side, which is where the goods originate, and there is a demand side where the goods go, you know, to be consumed. But then the demand side also becomes a supply side for something else. Like if these goods are used in manufacturing something, then they can be sold on. So really speaking, the buyer in the first case becomes the supplier in the second case. So I haven't tried to go into those nuances of all of that. And neither have I tried to extend behind the supplier into provenance, which is, you know, is it harvested legally? Is it farmed organically? Is it not using slave labor? You know, all those kind of things, right? Which is on mm-hmm. the supply side. And on the buyer side, on the demand side, we have the whole system of projection and of forecasting of, you know, where these goods, how much will these goods sell in the future, and for that, you know, and then to sort of predict how much should you order, you know, like so the whole just-in-time supply, you know, all that stuff is tangled up with that. But for the privacy and security case, this is very important because what has to happen there is some kind of aggregate numbers have to be extracted from this chain in order to come up with a model for demand. So maybe we can use some kind of zero knowledge type situation in order to extract this kind of information without revealing the details of each transaction. I don't know. I mean, so these are all, you know.
Or just use SGX.
Yeah.
Wink, wink, yeah. Nod, nod.
Yes. So, yeah, I've been hearing about the magic of SGX all over the place.
Good. I know we did a relatively simple POC. I say relatively simple. Nothing is ever easy, but we tried to do a relatively straightforward POC internally, just kind of tracking maintenance of parts. And you know, these are parts and tools for us are like $1 million things, right? And there were a number of, even though it was a POC with just two companies, it ended up being a number of non-intuitive confidentiality problems that we ran into just putting things on the blockchain that way, that we're going to have to sort of articulate clearly how the blockchain creates some interesting side channels. How's that?
Yeah.
And some of those are things we're going to have to figure out how to deal with. So.
It definitely does.
Dave, Tracy, I sent you the invite for Friday, so you should have the details. Tracy, will you be able to put that in the community calendar?
Yep, already done.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate
that.
Yeah,
thanks, Mike.
Yeah, I think I've got it. It says this invitation is out of date. The event has been updated. So I got another one here. Yep, it's on my calendar.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, great. And there's quite a bit of, if you are interested in the topic, there's quite a lot of detail in the notes, in the meeting notes sections. So you'll get.
Hey, Mick, are you going to go to Singapore for the member summit?
I am not.
Would you be up to it or open to it?
Probably not.
Because I'm sorry, I don't mean to hijack the meeting, but I'm hosting a panel on confidentiality and identity and things like that. And I'm looking,
like, I'm looking for people to come in. I think it would be really interesting to have that discussion about interesting side channels that you have.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Dave.
that's okay. I think Dan's going to be there.
Okay, so I was going to say, there's no way that I can justify the travel for that one. So.
Okay, well, Dan's going to be there, so maybe we can brief Dan and he can speak your
I'll,
piece.
I'll bring him up to speed on some of the thinking behind it, if that works.
That'd be great.
All right, anything else for this morning? We can get 15 minutes back.
Sounds wonderful.
All right, let's call it a wrap then. Thank you all for participating. Tracy, thanks for helping us host.
No worries.
Thank you.
Bye all. Have a great day.
You too.
Yep.